Hi, welcome to the Max Show. We're a touch late, but that's nothing new, eh? Joining me, we've got a fantastic one. We've got the chat room ripping. There's quite a few people in there, which is nice. And we've got a new guest, and we've got a level of commitment to this network, which is unheard of in the past. Winning out with the level of commitment, top here of the shop is Dot Rock. Mate, where have you been, and have you got a note from your mum?
Well, first, I did my little pre-surgery travel. I rolled off to Japan for my annual Japan trip.
Yeah.
It was great. I came home, did some laundry, and popped around to the hospital to get some titanium put in my knee.
As you do.
And it's good, except for I've been in here for like 2 weeks and I just want to go home.
Yeah, but I know you.
Yeah, I have an official eye knee now. It was made out of a single piece of aluminium.
Aluminium, not aluminum.
No, I should have had Johnny Ives like do my knee video.
Yeah, mate, he could do a video from the inside of your knee. Well, what we wanted to do with Doc's knee, right, was we wanted to think about how he would feel on the inside.
So yeah, it's good. They keep me well topped off with the special happy pills and really horrible food.
I'm spinning for time, by the way, because I haven't found the show any stories yet. It's a bit of a crap day, really, all the way around.
There are some.
The person who is still showing a great deal of commitment, but the least of the three, is Patrice.
Yeah, I'm still here.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good. It's been a busy week, and I'm very happy it's Friday. I've actually been looking forward to the shows. Like, I've missed this.
Now we haven't got a Boulder snow report today, so let's have an Austria one. Is there any snow in Austria?
No snow in Austria. It's raining though.
Oh right, okay.
Oh, I want one of those funny cakes with like the 3,000 layers in Austria.
A 3,000 layer cake.
That's just like really skinny. It goes like chocolate cream, and it's like stripes.
Austrian baklava.
Oh,
I don't know what it's called. And showing an incredible level of commitment from IMEN Max, it's Callum. He's joining us. Hello, mate.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, now if you're going to write in and complain and say that Callum's audio is a bit echoey, shove it up your ass. Because we've had him out in the main office. It was all beautifully lit. It was stunning, but the microphone was picking up everyone in the corridor shouting, and it was deafening. So the level of commitment he's shown, he's locked himself in a cupboard. There you go.
I've just knocked something over in the cupboard. There you go.
He hasn't even got a desk. Look at that. Nice, he's just perched.
Nice and professional. But yeah, we're right here. So,
In the words of Magic Man in the chat room, you're going to fit right in.
Yeah.
You just need to make sure that they don't lock you in that cupboard and then go away for the weekend and you're stuck there.
Yeah, we bet.
Oh, we could do a 48-hour Mac show. There you go.
Yep. Thought about that. But sorry, dude, John Ray. The week in Apple. What's gone on? Not a lot, actually. I'm still trying to lock through the stories, but AirPod shipments expected to double to 60 million this year. It looks, because they're saying it's on the strength of the new one being so bloody good. But I've had a couple of reports. I've had mixed reports. In the main, I would say that people say that they are better than standard AirPods. But some are saying, actually, if you seat them properly in your ear, they stand exactly the same. They're no better than the standards.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the fit. Like, I mean,
if they
fit well in your ears, they might sound better, or like either better or no different at all. But I mean, basically, if you had the original AirPods and they didn't fit all too well, and now you got the Pros and they fit better, then it sounds better. Kind of, that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, if your ear can't, there's no way to sit the other ones in properly. Then having that little thing that makes it like close off does it better. But the thing that I heard the most besides the sound, because I asked all of my friends that got besides the sound, tell me what do you like better? Because, you know, there's so many people here have what's the word I'm looking for? Like neophyte ears. My family sold high-end stereo equipment for
audio files.
I still have pretty good listening ears. Like, I enjoy good quality music. I have some lovely British Bowers and Wilkins speakers set up. I have, you know, single channel amplifiers for each speaker. Like, I have tube amps, the whole nine yards. So, like, to me, the sound is important, but it's weird to ask, like, you know, it's like asking your mom, what does she feel about the synchronous transmission on the BMW? She'd be like, what? So I said, besides that, what is the best? And the one thing I heard is the connectivity between swapping devices is much, much quicker, much, much smoother. You know, like jumping from your phone to your iPad to your computer to, say, your, you know, your Apple TV, whatever. Like,
I think that's
jump between devices.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real bonus of the Apple ecosystem with those, isn't it? That switchability and the fact you've just got to just pair it and you're away from one to the other. But in the end, you know, there are earphones and they've got to have sound quality that's commensurate to the price. And I think I agree with Doc a little bit. There's a lot of people aren't going to tell the difference between the two, probably.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, for me, I think Apple are trying to just corner the market with it, basically. So it's, you know, going through my own experience in here, you've got Joe, who said he wouldn't buy a pair of AirPods or EarPods because of the shape of them, and now they've changed the shape, and, you know, it's appealing to most people who use earphones.
So the fact that they were falling out of his lug holes was his barrier to entry, and that's gone now. Do you think how much of a driver do you think that shape has been for people? Because Apple have realised people aren't buying the AirPods because they fall out their ears.
I think it's been quite a large part of it as well. And also another thing that I've found a lot is the kind of cleaning with them as well, because it's rubberized, you can clean it a lot easier. With the older ones, because they were plastic, it was really difficult to clean them, and that could sometimes be a barrier for people as well.
Hey, are they going to keep the old ones around or no?
At the moment, they're still around, but and there's no release about the fact that they will be going, but they're still purchasable as it stands.
Yeah,
you know, because then that's cool, because then they have a bunch of multiple tiers, right? So your first wireless entry is relatively inexpensive and matches what is out there for standard issue brand name wireless entry, and then your mid level or higher wireless entry exist, and, you know, with the Beats Pro, and then your high level wireless entry exists with these. So, and I heard that they're also coming out with a lower version of Beats that fits in the middle. So depending on when they dump the original AirPods, they'll have four tiers of wireless injury wireless entry, ranging from 150 quid to 300 quid. So, like, I think that's also good, because they, you know, before, any wireless headphones, no matter whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, were always 250.
I think we should have that as a dialing competition or a writing competition. What are the four stages of wireless injury? we'll give away a set of headphones.
That's funny.
No, I think there's nothing wrong with them. They're great sounding. Joe, who's not in the cupboard with the Callum, is saying he's seen a few of them on public transport, and the older ones look massive now compared to the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a new pair. I've only seen the box for the new pair.
You know what's funny? Way back when the iPod came out, and I remember, like, man, I'm going to walk around with all this music in my pocket. I want some decent headphones. And then so at that time, the earbuds that they came with, they were pretty crappy, right? So you went around looking for earbuds that was of any quality, and your Bose were like 350, your Sony's were like 350, your JBLs and AKGs and all these other guys, they were all like 250. And I bought a pair of Shure's, which were probably some of the best they had at the time. Without, you know, if you remember in iPod days, a set of Edemotix with the wires was like, you know, $600-$700. But we're so far removed from that. Apple puts out a pair of wireless headphones with really, really good quality, and the industry just goes, yeah, but are they any good for the price? Like, what about the price? And I was like, bro, before there was even iPhones, we had cats out there paying $500-$600 for headphones because they wanted to hear their iPod MP3 compressed quality. We didn't even have, you know, lossless AAC yet. You know, and people were paying like, you know, that kind of money for headphones. So we've come a long way, and I guess the expectation of the public has changed, but I don't think 250 is that far removed for a good set of headphones. Even for listening in your house, if Apple never existed, to plug into your home stereo, a good set of headphones is $500.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
You can't compare the AirPods or the AirPod Pros with a really good pair of like over ear headphones. Like, it's simply not what they're built for. I mean, the quality is good, like the audio quality, but it's not the same.
Just to clarify there, Patrice, I think you can compare the sound quality. You just can't say it's shittier and expect that to be the reason because of, you know, it's doing a different job than like my monitor earphones are here from AKG that Doc told me to buy. But I can still compare the sound quality of the two.
Well, you can compare them, but they're not comparable.
Like, yeah, okay.
There simply, we go. Yeah, it's built for a different job. Like, it's simply like it's supposed to be small and like, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be something you can wear while like being out and about and walking around, which you're probably not going to do with your big ass over ear headphones.
Right. I mean, so you're paying $100 for that. You're paying $100 for portability, right? Maybe you're paying $150 for portability. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're only paying $100 for the headphones. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you got to say, how do you describe it? Okay, back in the days, you're going to go and buy a saloon, right? And let's say the saloon was $20,000. But if you wanted a saloon with an automatic transmission, then it was $2,250. So you knew that the automatic transmission was $2,250. And it didn't matter whether you were getting a Vauxhall or a Ford or, you know, a Chevy or whatever. To switch between one to the other, you paid the extra $2,250 and you were able to get an automatic transmission. That's the way I see it. And I think people can't do that. They start talking about it from the level of like headphones, but you're forgetting the wireless part. Like, that's what you're paying for.
I think also as well, you know, it isn't just the earphone itself you're paying for. You're paying for the, you know, for the case that comes with it and the, you know, the way it works with
the charging
your iPhone
stations.
And, you know, the nice GUI that comes up and, you know, you're kind of paying for the whole Apple feel with it as well, which, you know, Apple do very well, but, you know, it probably hikes the price up as it does with all Apple products.
Comment from Deep Pan in the chat room, he's saying, still had nothing that beats my old Shure E2Cs. Amazing sound and isolation.
That's the one I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about.
But his finishing statement is AirPod Pros are just more convenient, and it's the price tag that you put on the convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, E2Cs, those are my babies. Yeah. I lost them on the airplane.
Oh, it's because a Deep Pan had them off you. He nicked them. He was in the seats behind. This is quite an interesting... This will take us a while. Apple reportedly overhauling its software development process following a buggy release of iOS 13. How long you got? It's not been good.
I didn't have any problems. It was so weird. I normally get stuck with all kind of jacked up crap, but I had like zero problems.
Yeah, you might have not seen like all the bugs that were going on in the background. Like there were plenty. Like even in 13.2 and now 13.3, there are still plenty of bugs. I don't know, did we discuss that recently here or did I only discuss that with Adam on the Mac show? The whole topic of complexity versus like software releases and all of that. I can't remember.
It wasn't here.
Okay, so basically what I said was Apple is stuck in like a place where like most software companies, especially bigger companies, are stuck in right now. The complexity of software nowadays, especially, I mean, no matter what you're doing, even if it's as simple as the app in the world, is simply higher than it was even 10 years ago. And I mean, if you look at something like macOS or iOS, I mean, that is like layers of complexity. And the issue is the more complex the system is and the more changes you're doing, like basically every single developer working at Apple that is changing something is introducing the risk of breaking something. That's just like how software development works. And with Apple's like yearly releases, they're trying to change too many things at a time. Like they're trying to cram as many features into this like big flashy once a year release as they can, and that is causing some issues with quality control, because you simply cannot. It's simply too complex, and it's too much that's changing, and too many things that are like it's kind of like. I mean, a car is a bad example, but it's kind of like you're changing the front left tire and whatever, the back seat falls out. That's kind of how software works. Like, and you don't know why. Like, there's no obvious connection between the front left tire and like the back seat, but it still happens. And that's what happens in software. The more people are doing, like, the more people are changing things, the more of these like weird things are happening. And that's what you're seeing with Apple. So what I said, and I think what the whole industry is doing, and I think what Apple is trying to push towards is trying to limit the amount of changes. So having smaller releases. That's why you see so many features now coming in 0.2, 0.3, 0.4 releases in whatever spring. They're trying to spread it out so that on an individual release basis, like the September release or whatever, there are less changes in there. Those changes can be tested better, and there is simply less of a risk that, like, the million changes that they crammed into it break 1,050,000 things. So
is this an endemic issue though with all software that the public is now becoming a beta test rather than it coming out clean and finished? And should we accept that? Because there's a certain bit of me that says no, we shouldn't.
No, not really. The issue is any testing you do is always. It's always synthetic. Like you can do like automated tests and have test tools or whatever. That is just, that's just pretending that someone is using the software. You can even give it to whatever your 10,000 developers, like in your company, and give them the software and let them try it. It's still the same thing. You can give it to, I mean, you see it with the betas, where like people are supposedly using the software in the real world. And there are still so many issues that only come out once you actually roll it out. It's simply any testing you do, anything you do with beta releases, whatever, is only gonna find so many issues. It's simply the world is too complex and there are too many. The issue is, like, especially for developers, you get the beta in June. Most people are not gonna really test with it. I mean, they might install it somewhere, like on, like, let's say Catalina. They might install Catalina on the side and then every now and then go in and try something and maybe test their software, but they're not really using it. And you only find those weird issues once you actually use it. And it's like, I never went into this menu because I only needed it once every 3 weeks, but once I did, it didn't work. Stuff like that. You will only find when you actually day to day 8 hours a day are using it. And that's the issue. So you have to, there's a point, like, no matter how much testing you do before, you're not going to find all the bugs.
There's a point here from Deepan in the chat room. He said, but there's been a lot of Bluetooth bugs, and Bluetooth is a stable technology that really shouldn't be as buggy as it is.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they might have changed like a minor thing on the Bluetooth side, like whatever, improving something that works better with the new chips, whatever. Small change might have a big effect, because they changed something very minor and like didn't see that it would have like all those other effects. It's simply, as I said, our software nowadays is simply too complex for the way it used to work like 10, 15 years ago. Like that's simply as that. And that's not Apple, that's anybody. That's why, like, when Adobe switched to the subscription system, there was a lot of pushback against it, but you see that Adobe is basically now without major bugs. I mean, there are always bugs. I think that's also another thing that we simply have to realize. There will always be bugs. But they're pushing out updates frequently, and they're pushing features out frequently. And they're like, okay, next year in spring, we're going to do this. And people know it's coming. They can have their press event, all of that. But it's one feature. And then whatever, next year in June, they're going to have another thing. Like, it's small incremental updates that Adobe is doing. They're not doing the every 2-3 years, big bang, everything changes releases anymore. And it's working for them. And I think that's what Apple is trying to get to, but they're trying to get to that and having the flashy the flashy once a year event still, and that's it. Simply doesn't look like it's working anymore.
Doc, is your bed reversing?
Oh no, that's the hospital. Hold on.
Well, at least you're still alive, and it's not your flatlining.
this is gonna be irritating.
Can I just say to all the listeners, right? If you're listening and you want to write in and complain about the audio quality of this show, bollocks! I don't care. Because we're under extreme circumstances here, please, people. Just a bit of understanding. Sorry, go on then, Doc. Oh, Doc's gone. That's what this beep, the beeping stopped because Doc was...
No, I was going to say, and another thing that, Patrice, that nobody wants to admit or nobody wants to, you know, speak up to, but part of this is our fault. And I won't say us necessarily, the end user, but the tech press... let the Ming-Chi Kuo type dudes, what's the word I'm looking for, analysts, the tech press let the analysts bully around Apple without us collectively getting together and putting them in place. And so now, because of the markets and because of all of the crap those guys say, Apple makes changes and adjustments and tries to hit marks that they never said, that, you know, these analyst guys said. And then the analyst guys before, nobody paid attention to them. Why? Because nobody reported it. It's got stuck in the back of the pink newspaper here, the Financial Times. It got stuck in the Wall Street Journal. It got stuck in places that none of us tech nerds read. But then somebody figured out, Mac OS Ken, you know, I love you, and other cats like him, that if you need articles for your show, talk about what the analysts are talking about. And like, you know, because the numbers sound great. Oh my God, an analyst thinks that Apple is going to sell 20 million phones in the next 13 minutes.
Oh, who cares?
And then people started, you know, liking that stuff. So now the general tech readers, although from a neophyte perspective, a lot of us read and listen to the tech analyst stuff. And so now what's happened, undue, unnecessary pressures that Apple never put on itself are put on because everybody's expecting this dominant release every year. This release is going to affect sales. And if we don't hit these sales, Apple's not going to hit these numbers. And they don't hit these numbers, we're not going to have the freaking 28-quarter record trend of positive profits. And the first time you did it, oh my God, Apple is doomed. And I don't mean just the regular tech press. It's because it's infiltrated YouTube and those dudes that are doing shows over there. Like, there are millions and millions of people that can tell you stuff in Apple's 10Q now.
It's absolutely
but
true.
Yet,
like, I mean,
they don't know the 10Q for
like
their car.
We're all expecting more features.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, nobody knows the 10Q for their car or any of the other equipment they own, but they can tell you stuff on their 10Q about their phone because people started putting expectations that didn't need to or have to exist anywhere. And what that causes is it starts to cause cracks because you can only go so fast before you start hitting the sound barrier.
I think an issue that I take with it, I think for me, from a repairability point of view, and especially with people's data, I've never had an update happen where so many phones have then been brought in with, you know, the Apple logo looping or, you know, parts of their device not working to the point where they can't actually get their data. Because I think even if it breaks the phone, which it normally wouldn't because it's a software problem, but even if it does, you can replace the phone, but you can't replace people's data. And I think that's that this update, more than most, I've seen an awful lot of people come in with, you know, the Apple logo boot looping, and it's, you know, about half the time I can't get the data back, which is, you know, for a lot of people disastrous.
I think Doc will probably chime in here from his experience in the Hawaiian Genius Bar, but I think the time has come where people have to be asked at the start, do you want to not back up your data? And your Apple backup to the cloud has to be by default on. And when you set up your phone, you have to specifically say, I don't want you backing up my data, because the numbers of people that he said he saw and the numbers of people that you said you've seen, Callum, coming in with lost data. And it's like, well, did you do your backup? What's that?
Yeah. And you know what? See, that irritates me so bad. I started to have no sympathy for this about 5 years ago, because every opportunity for you to have the world's most beautiful backup exists, right? And we're talking opportunities that are not that expensive. People go, oh, but I didn't want to pay, you know, the extra for the good iCloud. You bought the phone with 256 gigs. Like, you were willing to drop $1,300 on a phone, but not the other $100 to keep it backed up.
It's not even that amount, though. It's £6 for 2 terabytes.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that stuff, it starts to piss me off because people do not back up their data, and they think, well, I thought Apple was going to do it for you. Yeah, they are. If you freaking press the button and, like, every instruction and everything you have says to do it. Before you do the update, second line, make sure you have a full iCloud backup, and people don't do it. So, like, then they get mad at Apple. I'm like, but the second instruction said, make sure you have a backup. It's almost like, we were just having a good time, and then, I don't know, now I got this kid. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you had all the warnings from high school to suit up.
I mean, I have a question for you then. Do you think Apple should simply include the iCloud storage price for a backup in their phone pricing and simply say, whatever phone you have, whatever 256 gigabyte phone, the backup is free. Basically, you bought it and that's it.
Yes and no, and I'll tell you why. Number one, yes, because it would make life easier, but no, because the minute that they make it mandatory that you back up your data on their service because they gave it for you, people will lose their mind and say Apple's trying to grab your willy and make you pee.
Well, you get competition issues then as well, won't you?
Yeah. So that's all. People will lose their absolute crap. But when you look at wonderful tools out there like iMazing, when you look at the ability to just, even if you bought nothing, but a 40 quid, like, you know, 1 terabyte drive from the Tesco, and all you did was plug it in every day and back your stuff up that way. You have the tools. The tools exist, bro. You can buy, one terabyte drive now for like $30. Like, there's no reason not to back up your phone. I use iMazing. I have a full backup there. I have the,
We're not the average, though, Doc, are we? That's the point, we aren't the average.
And so
the kind of guys seen are the kind of guys that you saw at the Genius Bar years ago.
No, and I got so pissed off at the fam. I got everybody on it. I bought it for everybody. I set them up. And if you guys call me and talk about you lost anything, I'll throw your phone in the freaking ocean. Because it's so irritating that, you know, like, all of my contemporaries, all of my family members, they all got kids and grandkids, and they think they're so cute. And they go, oh, my God, I lost these pictures. You can't lose pictures. I told you how never to lose a picture. And they go, but I think I lost them. Mm-hmm. I'll say, when was the last time you plugged in the drive? Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't plug it in. And so it's on you. At that point, like, you got to be an adult, people. It's starting to be on you. The warnings are there. The instructions are there. Idiots like us constantly chiming your head about it. Like, at some point, if you're going to use a phone, you got to grow up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Callum, what's the percentage of people coming through the door for you that are unaware of backups?
I think for me, when I talk to people about it, everyone's aware of backups, and it's one of those things for most people. Oh yeah, I should do, but I don't. And I think, I think
there's no excuse there then.
Yeah, and I'll obviously try and do everything to get their data back, but there does come a point where it's actually, there's no iCloud backup to go off. There's no local backup to go off. There's very little I can do with that. But I think Apple could do a little bit more to encourage it. I think as you said, perhaps having a pop up saying you need to make a backup before you do an update. I think maybe a way to go.
I think it's just phone setup.
Comparability point of view. So
opt out a backup.
You know what we do, lads, and we should be the guys to start it. We get everybody in the tech press to write articles to Tim Apple and be like, the next commercial you buy needs to be a commercial about people, please back up your stuff. You got all these cool commercials about running around in the bazaar with like mixed ethnicity kids, you know, taking pictures and stuff and proving how great your phone is. Your camera and your phone is no good without the backup. All of the great iPhone, you know, 6 camera beautification is useless without a backup. We should ask them, and we should harass them to the point where they give in and do it, because it makes our jobs easier.
Yeah, I completely agree, because as I said before, you can replace You can replace a phone with six cameras. You can do absolutely anything like that. But data is the one thing that when it's gone, it's gone.
And they can do it in the process of advertising their backup facility and how cheap it is as well as. Yeah. So it's totally commercial. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think into the privacy topic and say, I mean, part of privacy and part of owning your data is also taking care of your data and like backing it up that way.
Dude, the privacy commercial came up in the Super Bowl. What if we can get the backup commercial to come up in the Super Bowl?
That would be cool.
Well, that means Callum's data recovery business is out of business. So
don't do it, please.
Don't do it. He makes a fortune. no, he doesn't. He does it all for it. No, he doesn't do it for. Oh God, I've forgotten how to turn the positive spin on that now. I think the opt out is the way forward. Comments from the chat room. The only thing better than a backup is another backup. Well done, Windrider. Magic Man, multiple backups, multiple formats, and Windrider says iMazing is brilliant. Even works on my iPod. Classic.
Yeah. I wanted to really quickly bring it back to the article and what Apple is trying to do. So what they said is that, it leaked internally. Like Apple has not done any public announcement of this, but someone leaked the internal announcement, the internal memo apparently, is that they're going to focus more on quality control. And especially what they're going to do is that in their, they have internal daily builds where like every day you can basically install whatever the latest version of the whatever they're working on is, like macOS, iOS, and so on. And I know from like stories I've heard in other podcasts and people that have worked at Apple that a lot of people in Apple, like developers and so on, they use those dailies and they actually use them in productive environments or somewhat. Mm. What they're going to do is have more flags, like a flag system, where basically that daily build only contains features that are done. And by default, anything that is still being worked on and anything that is not ready and not done is deactivated. The effect that has is that they always have a stable system that they can check out and say, okay, anything that we've integrated at this point, any feature that we've built that we think is ready, we can fully test in a like a real world environment, versus having like kind of a build that is always broken and there's always something that isn't working and people just get used to it. I mean, that's something I've seen. People get, I mean, in a software development environment, people get used to bugs. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people is like, oh yeah, that bug, that has been around for like 5 years. I see that every time. I'm like, why didn't
the bug is actually in their workflow?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, people start working around it. I'm like, why didn't nobody fix it? I mean, you're a developer, you could fix it. Why don't you do that? And I was like, oh, this has been around forever.
If Jobs
then
was
it rolls out to the customer, and
mate,
it's a big deal.
If Jobs was still alive, the press conference would be, there's this bug in iOS, and he'd go, well, that's because the bug's not in your workflow yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Your workflow's wrong.
So what they're trying to do is have a more stable version that they can properly test, that has only the features that are ready and are done. And I think that makes sense. And then for quality control, like if someone has to actually test whatever they're working on right now, someone can just enable that and say whatever the new camera app that they are rolling out in iOS, like if someone has to actually test that, they could just flip a switch and say, okay, like show me the new camera app, and then they will see it. And I think it's a step in the right direction. But I think ultimately I don't know how many developers Apple has, but I would guess it's probably like hundreds of thousands at this point, or at least 50,000 plus. I don't know. I don't think Apple ever released those numbers. Like, just imagine how many things are being worked on and how broken everything is all the time. And that's what we've heard from a lot of people. As I said, like, ultimately, Apple will have to go back and simply, I think, like anybody else, start packaging things in smaller packages.
Going away
with the yearly releases and not going to 2 year or 3 year releases either, because that's not going to solve anything.
I can't listen to anyone now say "show me the" without going into Jerry Maguire in my head. Show me the packaging releases, Jerry. Show me the point update, Jerry. Doesn't work. Tim Cook was very proud that the new Mac Pro is going to be built in Texas. I think he was significantly less proud of the fact that he had a photo opportunity with Donald Trump, which is why there's a picture of him with a girl instead. This reinforced my thought process that there is a massive subsidy or a tax holiday for Apple on the quid pro quo of you're going to have to build something in Texas. They will build something in the mainland US. And that's why he's done it. And because there's no way on God's green earth that Apple would have said yes to Donald Trump being there otherwise. It's got to be government involvement.
Apple has been doing this since 2013. This is not new. Like, Apple has been building the previous version or the currently still selling version of the Mac Pro in Texas in 2013. Since 2013.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that reinforces the fact that the only reason Trump's there is because there's a tax holiday. Some kind of government incentive. Otherwise, they would never have let him be there. They wouldn't want him near this story.
And what was funny was...
Go on, Doc.
What was funny was he made a tweet yesterday that said, hey, I opened up a new Apple factory, a big Apple factory in Texas. And everybody was like, what? That plan's been running since 2013. And Stephen Colbert had the best line. He goes, you know, I already been to an Apple factory. It's called the tree.
The thing is, you know, all the diehard Texans as well, when he's saying it's good to have an Apple computer being built in America, go, this ain't America, this is Texas.
So there's a catch 22 there no matter what. That was pretty funny.
The interesting thing is, I think they also, Tim Cook also said that they're going to ship the new Mac Pro across the Americas from that factory. That sounds like is that if you're like Yuan are buying a Mac Pro, it's probably coming from China. So
what you mean? You think they build them in Texas, ship them to China, and then it comes from China after it's been finished?
No, I'm guessing that there's simply like for probably the tax breaks and everything they're getting, they're gonna build a small amount in Texas, like to basically ship to whatever Mexico, Canada, and the US. And then everybody else gets theirs from China as everything else.
No, okay. That's cool. Yeah. That makes sense. I've had a conversation today with Rob, GB Redneck in the chat room on the phone. And we were talking today about buying stuff. And Magic Man made a comment in the Slack room. It's like, you know, I want the new Mac Pro. I want the biggest Mac Pro I can possibly get. Well, best of luck, mate, because that's going to cost you $6,500. And he's like, yeah, so that's wrong, isn't it? And then the conversation we had last week on the show, which was like, actually, you know, the base model will probably do outperform anything you've currently got and by some distance. Mm-hmm. And Rob has a Mac Pro, and he was like, I could do with something a little bit faster. So he bought a Mac Mini. And he swears by it. He says it's brilliant, says it's faster than the Mac Pro that he's currently got. He's got the same Mac Pro that I've got that I'm running now. And he says his Mac Mini that he's bought is, and that's the point, is that actually the applications aren't keeping pace with the current technology of the base units, and they're outstripping stuff. I mean, not turning this into an advert for iMac Max, but I saw an iMac on Callum's desk when I was there this week, and that was a great spec with a solid state drive in it with upgraded memory, and they're pushing that out as a secondhand machine, but it's good enough for Ellis to run Photoshop on it, Final Cut Pro. It'll do all of that stuff it'll be a little bit slower than my Mac Pro, but the Mac Mini if you buy the bigger processor, it's better than the Mac Pro I've currently got sitting running here that I paid $6,500 for.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember back in June when Apple announced the Mac Pro, they had this whole Pro Studio with the Mac Pros? The servers they had a server rack there for like video for 8K video processing. That was all done on a cluster of Mac Minis. Like there was no Mac Pro involved. Like they used the Mac Pro on like the user side to run the tools, to run Final Cut, all of that. But the backing, like the rendering, like all the render jobs with what's the tool called? I keep forgetting. Motion, everything that was basically rendering and storage and whatever. That was run on a like I think it was 8 or 10 Mac Minis.
Yeah,
I think
compressor.
Compressor, yeah, that was the one I was looking for.
Compressor's brilliant. Sorry, Callum. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I think you saying that software isn't keeping up with hardware, I think that's absolutely spot on, because I've got, you know, the machine that I use every day is a late 2012 MacBook Pro, and that is absolutely fine. It runs the latest version of Mac OS. It's a Core i5. It's, you know, it's a really nice, decent machine for, you know, everyday use. I don't do anything massively heavy. I think, you know, the most I'll ever do on it is probably kind of a data recovery, and that's just plugging a hard drive in.
And that's just leaving it as well, isn't it? So your performance, yeah, it's just plug it in, let it go, and then walk away, and then it doesn't really matter how long it takes. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it takes 6 hours rather than 4, it's usually going overnight anyway. So makes no odds to me. So,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think there's, I've revamped my thought process about what Apple are offering at the moment. And I think I'm at a stage where actually I could get, if I want an upgraded machine, I can get a very much upgraded machine by not going to the Pro. So I think Apple have got to be careful, because they are going to have a very niche market at that top end for that Pro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've got to make sure they don't lose. You know, it'd be interesting to see what the numbers of units or estimations of number of units are going to be, and how many people have gone actually backwards and said, well, I can do everything I need from a MacBook Pro now, or a Mac Mini, same as Rob did. Apple revamps Everyone Can Code curriculum, and it's going to be in stores through the holiday period. I've got to say, I think HealthKit, I've given just straight all out applause to Apple. I'm not going to say anything negative about it. And their attack on getting people into coding, and kids into coding particularly, with Swift Playgrounds and what they've done here, I think that there's no negatives to mention. Apple have done a cracking job of trying to expand the code market.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think getting it instilled in kids earlier, I think, can only be a good thing, you know, going forward, you know, more innovation and better products ultimately. So,
I'm not blind to
never see that being a bad thing.
No, I'm not blind to the fact that they're doing it from a commerce viewpoint, because they're going to have loads more developers to sell software through their portal. Yeah. But that's not the point. You know, there's kids out there who are doing stuff, learning stuff, enjoying stuff. And whilst they've still got their face in an iPad, it's not their face in an iPad on a crap game that's just stealing their parents' wallets.
Yeah. And from Apple's point of view, it's an iPad as well. So you're probably getting a, you know, because when people tend to use Apple, they tend to stick with it, so they've probably got a customer for life there as well.
Yeah, good.
I can't tell you how many comments I get when Emma and I are out and we're sitting out at like Starbucks or something, and we're working on Swift Playground. You know, people in Starbucks always knows that they come and look over your shoulder and see what you're doing. And they're like, is she writing a program? I'm like, yeah. They're like, how old are you? And she's like, 10. And people's faces are like, oh my God, wow, that's so cool. I wish my kids did that. I go, yeah, it's on you, pimp. It's not that hard. All you got to do is install the app and then freaking sit down with them. And they're like, well, I don't know how to code either. I go, you know what? I'm only a basic coder, but I've gotten better from sitting here watching her do this and, you know, going through the stuff with her. So I love when people like to say stuff to me like, oh man, I wish I could, you know, learn another language, or I wish I could take pictures. Or I was like, wow, you just got to do it. Just nut up and do it. So I think it's cool that Apple's making it easier for people to nut up and do it. I like what you and Ellis were doing.
What were we doing?
No, because you guys first started playing with that when it first came out. And then you were telling me some stories of you and Ellis, I guess, playing with them.
Oh, that was a Camu thing? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, man, I'm going to do this. And I got Emma started, and she's quite addicted to it. That's her favorite thing next to swimming.
Okay. That's a comparison that's come out of nowhere. But yeah, spot on.
No. So, I mean, but it's good that a 10-year-old kid would rather sit on her thing and code versus, you know, like you said, play some mindless game or play Pokemon cards.
Yeah, I know. It was when Ewan mentioned my name caused a stutter. Okay. I don't think it was your fault though, Magic Man, whatever happened. Ewan's ability to affect the internet by simply mentioning someone's name.
That'll be cool.
There's probably a film about that.
Beetlejuice.
Hey, Beetlejuice, there we go. Don't say it another time, otherwise we're all knackered. Apple launches new smart battery cases for iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, and iPhone 11 Pro Max. You've got to be a heavy user to want one of these, because I've been on the XS Max, and I haven't shagged the battery once in over a year now, 18 months. I've not once had the battery go, no, sorry, you need to go, unless I've been out in town and I've been absolutely pillaring it because I'm sat in a bar on my own or something like that, or I'm sat you know, buying taxis or paying for stuff. It's got to be, it's really, really heavy use day before I start to see it taxed.
Dude, traveling through Sapporo and like just taking pictures like no tomorrow, using it as the screen from my drone, all this other stuff. Like, I was surprised, man. That phone was never asking to be plugged in until we get all the way back to the hotel and ready to, you know, to tie in the night with a nice drink and a, you know, couple of chips. Like, seriously, I was so amazed at how good that battery was. And Karen was complaining the whole time because she didn't want to upgrade her phone before we left. And I told her, hey, I'll buy a new phone. And she's like, no, mine's okay. And the whole time she's like, damn, I got to keep plugging my phone in. I hate this phone. And I was just laughing. Mm-hmm. So that battery is quite amazing. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. I mean, even traveling and everything. I mean, with even with the XS Max, I had very little issues, and now with the 11, like it bare, like,
you and how's it a year out though?
Makes a dent now.
Say again, Doc.
I said, how is it a year out? Well, you got some cycles on that baby.
The XS Max.
Yeah.
Ah, crystal clear, mate. Absolutely brilliant. And the so the only thing I managed to do was I had it in my top pocket, and then someone said, "Can you hold a tackle bag at rugby?" And someone ran into me and starred the screen. Mm-hmm. There you go. And even then, the thing, this is the one that that Callum took out for me. Mm-hmm. Even then, it still worked just fine. It was just a cosmetic issue. You know, it's like you're showing someone something really cool. And you're like, yeah, sorry about the bit that's going to go behind the white bit there. It's just, you know, and it's like, I really want to look at, but the phone itself is rock solid, mate. I've loved it. It takes amazing pictures. I've got a lens pack that goes on the back. With a slidable lens to get two times on, so I get four times effectively on the zoom lens and that kind of stuff, which is brilliant. And I know there's quite a few of those out for the 11 now as well. I adore it as a phone. It's the best phone I've ever had. And it was like, you know, you guys are going, oh, get the 11. I've got no need for an 11 at the moment. I mean, I'd love to have the better camera, don't get me wrong, but I don't use it enough to warrant that. And I've had one of my picks this week, my picks last week and one of my picks this week. He's going to be, cause I had a pile of camera stuff I wasn't using. I thought, right, just went straight back to Wex, took it all in. They gave me $3,500 credit note against new stuff in store. And it was like, okay, let's just have a spend. And I bought some stuff I would never have bought, to use at work. If I hadn't done that. And, the iPhone has really come into its own with my pick today. I'm really chuffed with it. So, it's good.
Did I hear it right that the new battery cases also have a camera button?
Yes, that is right. I have
joking. Oh, right. So that's on the opposite side. No.
Yeah, so you can literally hold it like a camera and snap. So that's really neat, I have to say. Yeah. Again, something for probably a heavier user, but I think a really neat little addition to it. Really neat.
Oh, God. There's a picture here of a guy, Trolls ZK. And he said, finally, it's on the Mac Rumors thing. He said, finally, I'll be able to get rid of my modified XS Max case. And he's just chopped a hole in it badly as well. it's not like he's even done it with a craft knife. It looks like he's done it with a tin opener. what a bag of shite that is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, kind of worked, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's keeps catching on me pocket lint when I come out, and it's covered with a piece of tissue or something like that. Yeah, yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, bugger off, Ellis. I put notifications on to do not disturb, and it's still pinging everywhere. Jesus. Bye. This show has been one of the slicker ones, I have to say. My lot. What are we doing? This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Hosts. We've got a great relationship with them. We've been with them for quite a while now, and they are the people that make us still able to post our rubbish all over the net. Without them, we would be lost. We've got an even closer tie with them this week because they're going to start doing blogs, wait for it, where they're going to feature each of us. So they've given us a set of questions, you know, like the classic questions to answer, what's your favourite, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So all of the people that come on the shows, I'm going to send them those questions. They're going to fill it out and send it back to me. And I'm going to send it to TSO. And we're going to be on their blog with all of the, here's my favourite, et cetera, et cetera. That's nice. Going to be hilarious, with a picture of us all as well. Mm. So it will be a good fun time. We've also got some stuff with them that we're going to do. I can't remember what it's about really, but we've got some giveaways and we've got some stuff coming up that's going to be really cool as well. But that will go through Christmas and over. So thing at the moment though is if you want a WordPress site, they are absolutely perfect for you at the moment. You will get a WordPress site for £12 a year, not a month, £12 a year. So they'll give you all the basics to start you off, server space. They'll give you 15 gig website. They'll give you a ton of traffic for it. They'll give you some inboxes and stuff like that for an email server. And you can have your own WordPress site running. And WordPress has got an awful lot easier to use these days than when it first came out. So it's incredibly doable, even if you're not into your coding and your tech in the highest level degree. If you want to go to a complete e-commerce store, then that's only going to cost you £60 a year. A year, not a month, a year. So go and check out their stuff at tsohost.com/WordPress and see what they've got to offer. As always, if you use the offer code BTN20, then you get 20% off your hosting needs. But what we need from you is for you to get out there on the socials and say thank you at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. And don't forget IMN Mac as well, because they've been really cool in the last few weeks helping us out. So I want you to get to them and have a chat. And you can always write into them and say, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? Is there anything that that you've got? And at the moment, Callum's going to back me up in a second on this, but I've got... Here's one of their 2012 units with an SSD in it and beefed up RAM, and that was £300. There you go. And that's great for the kids to do the homework on or something like that. It's perfect. It works just fine. It's fast enough by a long way. Yeah. Now, Callum, you've got a 21-inch iMac there this week that I saw.
Yes. So it's a nice 21.5-inch iMac. I believe it's from about 2013. So they've actually barely changed the structure and the style of your kind of basic iMac from right up until now. So we've currently got that in stock. That's on at £600. So if you were to walk into an Apple store now, you're probably looking at spending just over £1,000 for that. We offer a full warranty with it. It comes with a full kind of service and everything as well. So it's just what you'll get from the Apple store, but without the price tag.
And don't forget, if you use the offer code BTN with IMN Max, you get 5% off as well. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Make sure you tell everyone that BTN sent Jay. And don't forget to tweet out thanks to IMN Max for supporting At British Tech, because, again, without the people that alleviate costs for us and help us stay on the air, we don't make any money on this. It's done out of pure love. So the people that support the love need to get the love back. So please make sure you get on the socials and tweet it out. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Doc, I've bullied Docky to come in on the show from his sick bed. He's in hospital after a knee replacement. So... I feel quite bad now that I'm going to ask him for a cool thing and he probably hasn't got anything.
The cool thing is his knee.
Yeah, the cool thing is the titanium knee he got. It totally interacts with his phone. It's got an app. It's called iKnee, and it tells him the amount of fluid on the build-up on his knee. No? He's not even there. That was a wasted joke. So we'll start with Patrice. What's your cool thing, dude?
No, I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
I had to turn the mic down because the nurses was making a lot of noise over here.
Anyway, hey, hello, matron.
My cool thing is the Moment camera app. Now, Moment is pretty famous for their attachable camera lenses, and when I first got the new phone, And I was like, my friend was telling me, oh, you got to check out the Moment camera app because he did some design on there. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll check it out. But, you know, I don't need that app because I can't use those lenses because I got the new, you know, like iPhone 11 Max, the super 3 camera eyebally thing. And he goes, no, even without any of their lenses, which you can still use the app. And what's really cool is it's one of the best that I've played with functionality-wise, but even just UI-wise of the professional level like camera apps. And everything from the photo style stuff, the slow shutter stuff that's there, but it gives you shutter speed, it gives you ISO, it gives you exposure value, you get your focus, you get like custom white balances, you know, you have the ability to shoot in HEIF or TIFF, so you can do a raw file directly out of here. When you are shooting with a newer phone with the multiple lenses, it lets you select the 0.5 or the 1 or the 2x. When you get into the video side of things, it's pretty much like using a professional video camera, including some curve defaults and stuff you can set up, your S-logs, you know, your color profiles. It does 4K at 60, of course. So that with the histogram and the controllability and the things that they add to it, it just takes the standard camera and gives it a lot more oomph. And it's not a super expensive app. If you happen to have Moment lenses, when you go to select the lens, it even lets you select whether you want to have it with the Moment lens on or off. And it is just well done. It's very beautiful. And you should check this out. It's at shopmoment.com, the app, the app store. But it's a really, really beautiful camera. And I used it to take in so many pictures in Japan, and it was incredible. Super clean interface.
Wasn't Moment the camera app that was invented by the girl that's the photographer? I want to say Brittany, but I don't think it's Brittany.
No, you're thinking of Camera Plus. That was Lisa Bettany.
Lisa Bettany, no, yeah. That's not it then.
Yeah. That was Camera Plus. But yeah, Moment, these are the guys that make those really, really cool, like nice lenses for your phone.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
They're like 150 bulb lenses, but they're really high quality glass. That's what all of the iPhone cinematographer guys use.
Thanks, Doc. I'm $6 lighter.
Yeah, it's a great app though. You'll love it. Especially you, Yuan, because you know how to use it, right? Like anybody that understands camera even a little bit will love it. But even if you don't, it's still great.
Well, no, I don't, because I'm in the middle of a show, and I would never do that. But I'll learn how to use it after.
No, I mean, you already know how to use a real camera.
I'll get Smuller to model for me later.
Oh God!
Please. I don't need that vision. Jesus Christ!
No.
maybe we'll do a nude shoot. There's people eating their tea at the moment. God, no, don't do that.
Oh,
I don't want to see his bangers a mess.
Well, I know today I've had a shoot with a beautiful woman, mate. So
nice.
I had a beautiful woman come and have a photo shoot with me. She wanted headshots done. It was great. I loved it. It was every nice. Very, very nice time. So, Patrice, your cool thing is trip mode.
Yes, my cool thing is trip mode. I have kind of like two use cases for it. So, what the app essentially does is it allows you on your Mac to limit the apps that can access the internet, like public, either you're traveling and you have a mobile hotspot, or you're on whatever public Wi-Fi or slow Wi-Fi network somewhere, or you're recording a podcast, for example, and you don't want whatever your backup in the background to start and like use up all your limited bandwidth. It's really cool. Like, it's very easy to use. It is actually relatively cheap. It's like €7.99 in euros, €6.79 in pounds.
Yep.
And it's free if you have setup.
And there's a Windows version as well.
It's also a Windows version. Yeah, I've heard about that, but I haven't tested it. But it's really, I mean, it's super easy to use. You simply, there's a list of apps, there's a checkbox. You say, I want this app, and this app to be available. You can define like your own profile, so you can say whatever. You have a podcasting profile, a travel profile, or whatever. You can also set, I think you can also set up some kind of rules to say when I'm on this network, enable this profile, for example, or just do it manually like I do. And like it works. Like I'm using it right now and it just works. Like it, like whatever, Slack is deactivated and it cannot do anything. It can't reach the internet. Like it just literally blocks that app from going out there. So it is good. And as I said, it is on setup. So if you have that, it's basically already free.
Can it do Google Chrome? Because I get really frustrated that I can't find the Google Chrome piss off button.
If you don't use Chrome, you can literally just block it and say, okay, when I have enabled this profile, whatever, when I'm in a podcast profile, just Chrome doesn't get any internet access. Done.
That's another
thing. Like, and it includes things like iCloud and whatever. So it also, like, it's not just the apps that you're running. It's also all the background apps that are running. So you could, for example, say, yeah, no iCloud while I'm, when I'm podcasting or while I'm traveling or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's another £7 down the pan then.
Yeah. I mean, you have setup, Ewan, right? So.
Oh, it's on setup. Brilliant.
It's on setup.
Wow. We love setup. This podcast loves setup.
Yes, we do.
Oh my
God. Setup and Anchor, I think.
Callum, have you got setup?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Call yourself a Mac tech. No, setup mates, £9 a month and it's 75 programs. Right, some of them are Mac heist level useless, but not many.
Okay, that's as you say, £9 down the drain.
Well, get Motor pay for it. It's a business expense.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. You can have it on. You can have it on two machines.
Oh right, okay. No, it is something we'll look into, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean there are a lot of like business type apps in there, so I think it's easy to tell him, hey, I need this.
Deep Pan has put in the chat room, draw me like one of your French girls, Ewan, says Muller. Oh my God. I ate some Chinese before this. Callum, you've done well, mate. Do you know what? I'm so impressed. This is your first show and you've bent over backwards to get reception and function out of it by getting into the store cupboard. And without me having to make excuses for you, you've brought a cool thing. In fact, that's the commitment level there now is way too high for this show. You're going to have to tone it down a bit, dude.
Sorry. You only brought me on again. No.
Cool thing.
Yeah. So this week, I'm going to tell you about a program that I use pretty much every day in my work. It's called Coconut Battery. So this is an app you download on your Mac and it tells you about the battery life of it. It gives you the information of how much storage you've had taken up. It gives you a full charge capacity. So it tells you kind of how much battery life you've lost, tells you your cycle counts, tells you if it's overheating. And it also does that for an iOS device as well, so you can plug in your iPhone, you can plug in your iPad. I think it even works with iPods, and right. It will give you detailed information about the battery if it's failing. I use it every day because it's just quick, simple. I don't have to download anything on people's devices. Works from a memory stick. If I'm plugging it into a Mac, I just need to plug the phone into my Mac if I'm testing it on an iOS device. So it's a really useful bit of kit and flexible. It's absolutely free. So
that's an excellent thing.
A really, really useful thing that we use pretty much every day. So
that's a good pick, mate. Well done. I like that. You're never going to last though if you don't buy things that are grossly expensive or grossly useless.
I'll make sure to just practice for next
just
week.
Ask Doc when he comes in with a £20,000 mixing desk or something, you know.
Okay. It's been out of my budget, unfortunately.
I think I still hold the record though. I can't remember what it was. I picked something about £7,000. So. not £22,000, I think I've heard on a podcast in the past, but not. My cool thing. Bob Beach is chiming in, mate. Coconut battery is really good. So you've kept Bob. So, but normally Bob pisses off during the cool things because he owns everything, yep. So he doesn't need to check with us. But the fact that he stayed here for yours, Callum, that's kudos, pal. And he says, and reinforcement. Don't hold too much to it. He'll turn on you eventually,
For now. I look forward to it now you've said it.
My cool thing is the DJI Pocket. I got, like I say, I had a pile of camera equipment, not using it, waste the money, take it to store, get some credit for it and buy something that I would use. And I bought a DJI Pocket and I adore it. It is, the quality of the images is unreal for such a tiny unit. 4K. It's, the screen's a bit crappy, but that's because it's small and it can't not be. But the plug that you put in, stick it into your Lightning connector, into your iOS device, is incredible. And the onboard device on your iOS phone or whatever is stunning. It really is so flexible to use. There's like a joystick for moving it around. There's tons you can do with it. I absolutely love this little thing. And I've got a little clip for it that means I can stick it on the end of a boom and I can do like boom shots with it out in sight. And it's absolutely brilliant. You can control it remotely. You can control it via an extender cable. It's just, love it. Bob's saying yes, he loves the Osmo Pocket as well because he's got one.
Bob, that was the last thing I picked on the last show that I was able to do.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm glad you bought it.
Yeah, I bought it.
So awesome.
There's a winter sale on.
So awesome.
30%
off. Did you get the wheel?
Did I get the what?
The wheel.
Yeah, I got the extender kit with it.
The wheel where the iPhone can...
Yeah, you get
The wheel also, the wheel makes it.
Yeah, the wheel's good for like rolling, tilt and that kind of stuff. And then there's two buttons for left and right. And there's also a wireless socket, so you can use it wirelessly with your remote app as well. And there's a little connector that you can get that swings it and puts it onto GoPro mounts and stuff like that as well. So it's just good. I love it. I think it's a great thing. It's £329 it cost me, so it's awesome. But the DJI store has a winter sale on. You may get something off if you bother to have a look.
Nice. The best part about the DJI stuff is that they're constantly adding to it. And then so we're getting it after the firmware is fully flushed. So at first everybody was mad because they thought it should do more. And DJI has gone by and added all the things that pretty much everybody asked for. So keep opening it and checking that firmware because they're forever making it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the
panoramics are insane. The 3x3 panoramics,
yeah,
freaking insane.
And there's not a lot of goldfish on them. There's not a lot of bowling on them, is there? Goldfish bowl kind of effect. It looks very flat.
No, not at all.
Brilliant. Right, Doc, mate, it's time for you to say where we can get a hold of you. But I've got to salute your commitment, my brother. You have gone above and beyond today, and we were desperate for you because we only had two people otherwise. Poor old Brett. I want to say hello to Brett. Brett's had a bit of a problem, just a bit health-wise. He's okay, but he's not feeling 100%. So get well soon, mate. And Jeff had an appointment for something that he'd forgotten about, so that's why he's not here today. But he'll be back for the big show a bit later on. But get well soon, Brett. Doc, where can everyone get a hold of you, mate? Hawaii General Hospital.
All over the internet at DOCROCK and mostly on my YouTube channel by the same name, DOCROCK. And just chilling over here, enjoying my narcotics.
And coming back home.
Hopefully this weekend.
This weekend, right. And we've already written a song, haven't we? Percocet Love.
Yes.
Doc admitted to missing Muller and missing Greeny earlier. So I knew it was the drugs.
That might just be the drug speaking.
Well, you've inspired Bob because he says he's got to go shopping. Obviously, the cool things were brilliant. Patrice, yes,
thanks, guys. It really cheered me up. So yeah. It was fun.
Mate, totally. You come on this show and it perks anyone up. Definitely. So you're on here next week regardless. Okay.
Okay. Well,
you have to do it from the apartment, though, not from the office.
Yeah, I can't walk to the office yet. No, maybe not until December.
Yeah. So come on next week. We'll take the piss out of you a bit more. Patrice, where would you be?
Every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show and everything I do and all the social links and everything on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Now, Callum, you can always say you can get me at imenmax on Twitter here, but this is also an opportunity for you to get yourself a stalker if you want to give out any personal colo details. But where can people get a hold of you, mate?
Obviously on I'm Max, Twitter, Facebook, we're on all the main socials. I'm mostly on Twitter, so it's Callum O'Hara at Twitter, so I think it's at O'Hara Callum if you want to tweet me or send me a message or ask any techie questions, you're more than welcome to. So,
be careful what you ask for, dude. Be careful what you ask for.
I'm not asking for anything at this stage.
The mechanism of restraining orders is coming to you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. We're going to be back with the big show at 8 o'clock. Don't forget to support the people that look after us. So get out on the socials and say thanks to TSO host and I'm NMAC as well. And we'll see you next week, Friday, 4 o'clock. Weekend starts here. Thanks for listening.